This Saturday marks the 10-year anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. President Barack Obama has declared the day the National Day of Service and Remembrance, the day to adopt a charity or do a good deed. Hello, I'm Tika Ballas, and today on Hometown Alaska, we're discussing volunteerism in our state. From feeding the homeless to assisting the elderly, maintaining hiking trails, to being an archivist, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of ways, means, and outlets for volunteering in just about every community. So what are these different outlets? And how can citizens get involved, especially when juggling jobs and bills and kids and possibly more jobs? And what is the importance of volunteerism? Well, here with us in the studio today, we have a couple of authorities on the matter. We have Sue Brogan. She has dedicated the last 28 years to the advancement of the profession of volunteer administration, strengthening volunteer programs and encouraging community engagement. She received her designation of Certified in Volunteer Administration, her CVA, in 1995, and has been Vice President of Community Engagement and Director of the Volunteer Center at United Way of Anchorage since 1996. Good afternoon. How are you doing today, Susan?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
And we have Tracy Burke. She is the commissioner with Serve Alaska, the State Community Service Commission. She is also faculty with the UAA Center for Community Engagement and Learning. She got involved with social work through the volunteer work she did as a Jesuit volunteer in Fairbanks and Bethel, working with battered women and pregnant teens. Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good to be here.
And again, you're listening to Hometown Alaska. Today we're discussing volunteerism, how to get involved with your community and why it matters. If you've had some experience with volunteerism or have questions for my guests, give us a call and join the conversation at 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or you can email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. On our website, we have a number of links to volunteer groups and organizations, and even some sites to help you figure out what type of volunteerism is right for you. You can just go to our Hometown Alaska site on the kska.org webpage. And to start off our conversation this afternoon, let's go ahead and look at that there's basically two different types of volunteer in the overall blanket umbrella. There is the long-term or full-time volunteerism versus the short-term and part-time volunteerism. And Tracy, you've worked with long-time volunteering, right?
Yes, I come at that really from two directions. One, as you said in your intro, I came to Alaska originally as a full-time volunteer with the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, JVC. And then since then, I'm one of 20 commissioners with Serve Alaska, and much of what the commission does is oversee AmeriCorps programs here in Alaska, and most of those AmeriCorps volunteers are full-time also.
And what is some of the work that AmeriCorps volunteers do?
They are all over the state. There are several programs run through RuralCAP, and there are folks in the YK Delta in particular who are working with environmental sustainability and recycling. There are folks working on wellness in their villages. We have AmeriCorps members here in Anchorage at Nine Star working with a Learn and Earn program. There is a Students in Service program that is for part-time members, people going to school who are doing internships that are related to social services and health professions, and they can also get the education awards associated with AmeriCorps. Lots of different opportunities.
And Sue, you work more with short-term, in a sense, and part-time through United Way. What exactly, explain for our listeners what exactly United Way is.
Well, United Way is a nonprofit similar to many others in our state. And we've got three focus areas, education, income, and health. And we're working to really create the community of everyone's dreams. And so we're, we have, you know, our goal areas, as I said, education, income, and health, but then we believe we can reach those goals by giving and advocating and volunteering. And so our involvement with volunteering might be with many of the organizations that Tracy was talking about, you know, RuralCAP and Food Bank of Alaska to, you know, the Mabel T. Center to the Pioneer Home. On a day like today, which is Day of Caring, we've got 600 people out doing many different things, from being in the parks to being at the botanical gardens. So our volunteerism, you know, spans the entire community, and it is shorter term than the examples Tracy was giving. You know, one time somebody, a family might get together, an individual might do something on a one-time basis, or you might find an opportunity at an organization where you come in once a week if you have that amount of time. I mean, I think that's the beauty of volunteering. It can be whatever you want it to be. And it's really, how do you hook up what you want it to be? How do you find that place for your energy and your passion and your skills? That's always been the trick in my years of working with volunteers, is how do you, you know, match that?
Well, you know, Alaska, there's a website, a government website, that released the Corporation for National and Community Services data, and it shows that Alaska is number 5 in volunteerism, and it has been number 5 for several years. Is that correct?
And four or five.
Uh-huh. And it seems that there are a lot of opportunities to volunteer, but is there something specifically that keeps us at the number 5 slot in volunteerism? That's really high if you look at, you know.
Well, my guess it would be population. I mean, you know, if you look at it, you know, they take the entire state population, and we're still, while we're aging, we're still a relatively young state, and we've only got, what, 700,000 people, 750,000 people. So, you know, unless we were going to do something significant with our population base, I think we'll probably always stay there. I think that's a great place to be. I mean, I really do. I think it bodes well for what people are interested in. They're interested in our, you know, religious organizations, our health and human service organizations, our, you know, environmental organizations. If you look at that study, it breaks it out to see where people are volunteering. And a lot of folks are volunteering in their schools, their kids' schools, their children's schools, which is huge right now.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy, do you find that there are a lot of people coming through, like, to do a lot of volunteering just in remote Alaska, because it's a type of experience you wouldn't get elsewhere as well?
Well, I think where people do their service has a lot to do with how they get involved in the first place. I mean, the AmeriCorps programs that I was mentioning recruit from within the communities where they're serving. And so those are local people. As a JV, a Jesuit volunteer, I first served out in the Bethel area, and that was really a function of looking first at a national service organization, and then finding Bethel came afterwards. And I have numerous friends who were VISTA volunteers, other JVs, involved with other organizations, where they knew they wanted to do this very intensive service time, and started looking for opportunities, and then Alaska and specific regions in Alaska sort of came second to that.
So you're saying, Tracy, that in fact what happened for you is that you were looking for that type of work and then Alaska came along, or are you looking to go to Alaska and that work came along?
I was looking to do a year or more of volunteering, and Alaska just kind of happened. I know plenty of people who always wanted to come to Alaska, and it had never occurred to me before.
And then you stayed here. You said you've experienced a lot of people who've done that as well, mm-hmm. though.
I think full-time volunteer commitments have led lots of people to Alaska who may have come here originally thinking, oh, this is an adventure for a couple of years, and like so many of us, fell in love with it and stayed.
And do you think that's kind of true in a lot of long-term, like Peace Corps and such, that people find themselves relocating because of doing a long period of volunteerism?
I think so. I mean, I think with any kind of volunteerism, you get really involved in the community. And I think that's equally true of the, I don't want to say less intensive, but
more episodic,
kind of, more episodic, right. Kinds of volunteering. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the phrase. And I think, you know, by doing a year of service, especially if you don't come in knowing people ahead of time, you're in this total immersion, and you become part of that community in a particular kind of way. And especially if you're a young person recently out of college, which is sort of the stereotype for Peace Corps, JVC, even AmeriCorps, although AmeriCorps serves multiple ages. And I think that's also a time of life when people are thinking of themselves in relation to their communities in ways that they perhaps didn't when they were the kids of the family.
And Sue, In almost in that same realm, we're talking about how these long-term projects can help build in you into a community. But what does it really serve for a community for people to be volunteers, say on a more part-time basis, like weekly or monthly, to come out and do help?
Much along the same lines as what Tracy was saying, I believe that, you know, where you see a lot of long-term volunteers show up now are as our nonprofit professionals. They go to work for many returned Peace Corps volunteers are now in our nonprofit sector, which strengthens the sector in that respect. But to your question, I think that, you know, in Alaska, we have a tendency to be isolated. And, you know, we have a transient population. So sometimes it is hard to connect to community because you just arrived and you don't know anybody, or you don't know exactly, you know, you might just start a job, new job, and you haven't quite found your place yet. Volunteerism can help with that. I mean, it can help you connect immediately to the community while you're trying to, you know, figure out where you want to land and where you want to, you know, spend your precious time. And so I think that's a huge benefit of volunteering. And then, you know, a lot of our, you know, we always do special events. We're a community of special events. And, you know, they need that short-term volunteer. They need the person that'll come and answer the phone for, you know, a membership drive or be on the air or, you know, so it's fun in that respect because, you know, it offers a lot of people in the door for the nonprofit. So it's really a win-win, I think, for both.
Like we have here at KSKA.
Exactly.
But when you're referring to a lot of events, are there specific events, though, that you're thinking of besides just the obvious of like a radio station or television station fund drive?
Well, I mean, you know, like the food drive on Friday that we're going to be doing. You know, it takes a small amount of people, but if you look at a voluntary effort to give, all of that food, 619,000 pounds of food, is given freely, so that's, you know, voluntary giving. So I think that's how come I've stayed in this business for so long, because it's so fun to redefine it. It's almost like you can redefine it every day. It might be your time, it might be your resource, it might be a talent. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, now that folks may be out of work, you know, and may need to keep their skills updated, I mean, volunteering is another great way to do that. Skills-based volunteering, mm-hmm. You know, find an opportunity to, you know, to stay in touch with people and, you know, stay active. And our seniors, you know, it's great for seniors. There's studies that have been done that says they live longer when they volunteer.
When they volunteer.
Yes, yeah.
And if you're just tuning in, this is Hometown Alaska. Today we're discussing volunteerism and how it defines and what it adds to a community. For our listeners who have served as volunteers, call in and share with us your experience. Let us know to what capacity you've served. And if you can, give us a call at 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or you can email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. And we're sitting here talking with Sue Brogan, director of the Work Volunteer Center at United Way of Anchorage, and Tracy Burke, the commissioner of Serve Alaska. Right off, though, there are all kinds of different things to discuss here for volunteerism. But Sue, if you can go into a little more detail about how a person comes up with the idea of what is the best and the right type of volunteerism for them.
Well, I think that it starts with, you know, a realistic assessment of how much time you have to give. And, you know, if you're a student, you know, factor in that you are going to get out of school at 2:00 and then, you know, you need to have time with your friends and maybe grab a little snack. And then by the time you're really ready to go, it might be 3:30 or 4:00. And then most of the nonprofits might be done working at 5:00. So they might actually, you know, need an opportunity on the weekend as opposed to Monday through Friday. But, you know, it's again, do you want to volunteer with your friends or do you want to volunteer by yourself? Do you want an opportunity where you can learn something or give something, you know, back? Like, do you want to work on a computer by yourself in a room? You don't want to be bothered. You just want a big old stack of something and do data entry? Great. There's volunteer opportunities. You know, it's really the volunteer coordinators at a nonprofit agency should take you through a list of kind of questions to qualify you, what you want to do, when you have time to do it. Most of the larger nonprofits all have volunteer managers, which is a blessing. And then they take you through an interview process. You might have to fill out a form. depending on what you're going to be and who you're going to be working with. For instance, if you're working with youth, you might have to have a background check. So there's all kinds of, you know, depending on the agency where you want to go to work. But I think that it starts with, what do you enjoy doing? And or where do you want to make an impact in the community? And then, you know, start thinking through and kind of, you know, brainstorming around that. And then there's basically a nonprofit for almost everything that goes on. So,
and Tracy, you can say that from your angle as well.
I think at both levels, whether it's episodic, but you're anticipating a regular commitment, or whether it's longer term and full time, I think the issue Sue raised of where do you want to make an impact is really crucial, because there are so many opportunities. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, hunger is a problem. I should do something about that. The environment, keeping, you mentioned trail upkeep. What's the stuff that you actually want to do? I'm personally all in favor of the trails looking nice, but I don't actually want to do that on a Saturday morning, whereas there are other things that I'm much more passionate about, so that it's actually easier finding the time, because it's stuff that I want to be involved with anyway. And so it, I don't want to say it feels more like play, but it's not this onerous, I have a responsibility. It's, I really find this intrinsically fulfilling and I want to go do this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, some people actually like to do things they don't normally do for their jobs. So, you know, while I might do this for my work, my volunteer, I might want to do something completely different, pull weeds mm-hmm. along a trail. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have anything to do with, you know, coordinating large groups of people. I just want to be by myself. So, you know, it's yeah, exactly.
And let's go to the phones really fast. Good afternoon, Sandy.
Hey, good afternoon. Hi to my friend Sue there. I work with seniors, and I can reaffirm what she said. I have certainly seen very mature seniors, even as old as 97, continue to volunteer and continue to stay active and healthier than I really believe they would have been. It's volunteering is a great way to improve your health, and it's a great way to make friends. For a lot of newcomers and a lot of seniors that come up here not knowing anybody but one family member, it's a great way to find a social group and stay connected and have fun.
Thank you. And what are some of the ideas, Sandy, that you've seen people doing for volunteer, the elderly doing as volunteer work?
Well, my volunteers do a number of things. They go visit more homebound. They do office work, reception work. They distribute food boxes and dog and cat food. They help at special events, check-ins and counting tickets and that sort of thing. They answer a lot of phones. They talk to a lot of people about services that are available in the community for the elderly, and we refer back to Sue and United Way for when they're looking for other volunteer options. So anyway, they're involved pretty much every place. A lot of seniors volunteer in schools and with preschool children. I can't think of too many places that you won't find folks 65 and older volunteering.
Great. Thanks for the feedback, Sandy.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
It's almost like a network going on as well then. So just as they're holding volunteers, they're also contacting you over at United Way. Is that right, Sue?
That's right, yeah. We have on our website, liveunitedanchorage.org/volunteer. We have plenty of opportunities, and we've got a great partnership with the Anchorage Daily News on Sundays. There's usually a long list of volunteer opportunities, and that runs the gamut of many different opportunities with many different organizations for all ages.
Great. And we have Amy here in Sitka. Good afternoon, Amy.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm calling kind of with two hats on. One is that I'm an AmeriCorps alum myself, came up several years ago to Alaska, to Nome, and volunteered for AmeriCorps for 2 years and then stayed out in the community for a total of 6. And now I have the opportunity to work with AmeriCorps members. I'm with Rural CAP, which is primarily based out of Anchorage, working with members who engage youth on community service out in the villages. So what's really neat is seeing the engagement of youth, because to foster those great behaviors and attitudes about giving back to the community and getting involved connectedness, all these things you've been speaking about, is obviously you need adults who are helping show them the way, and that volunteering is really fun. And a lot of the things this past year our youth have been doing around the state is getting involved with recycling or education outreach, and generally just setting up projects that they can do in their small communities. And they would tell us about how selfish they felt. And as an alum myself, I know that feeling where you're getting so much pleasure out of doing something good and making a difference. You feel kind of guilty that, am I really helping others? Because I feel so good doing it too. And so it's just really fostering those really good behaviors at a young age that they can carry forth through their adult lives and continue to make those contributions. But you really need those adults and other people or role models to really step up and show that volunteering is an important and priority in their lives as well.
Great.
I think part of what is so powerful in what Amy just said is the piece about how fulfilling the volunteers find this. And sort of that dilemma, am I really helping people? And I think that's a fairly common misconception that somehow if we're volunteering and we're giving, we're supposed to be suffering in the process. And I think that's really not the case. And I think that's part of the magic of it is that, you know, if we're really part of a community, we are part of something together. And of course it should be fulfilling and fun to be engaged in this community together. And often that is sort of a, you know, somebody helping somebody else. But I think we don't want to just think that it has to be some kind of top-down,
right,
one-way exchange there.
And I think Amy is spot on with the, you know, the adult, the role models that adults can play in mm-hmm. youth lives around this type of service. I remember when, you know, Mrs. Ward in Kenai was the first person that she was my Girl Scout leader, you know, and I was 9 years old. And, you know, I today I still see her and I still thank her to putting, for, you know, my parents were already, you know, had me moving in that direction. But it took that one person outside of your family to show you that you could make a difference and how you could make a difference. And then, you know, there it went. From there, it just, you know, you find ways to get involved. You find things, you know, and you bring your friends. And the next thing you know, yeah, it's fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it turns into a career, or you're, you know, hooking other people up, or you're talking to great people like Amy or Sandy at Mabel Tea. And, you know, so yeah, it's incredible the role that an adult can play in this arena of getting youth involved and showing them that they actually have skills and things to share, even though, you know, even if they're only 12, they still have, you know, they can teach somebody something or 13.
Exactly. And yeah. I mean, not only as a faculty member at UAA, but as a parent, I mean, there's this constant worry about, you know, your kid's self-esteem, but you don't want them to be selfish. And, you know, how do you help young people balance that? And there's something hugely powerful about providing a space where they can accomplish something. But it's also not just about them. It's actually about somebody else.
Right. And the acknowledgement that somebody else will give them that they don't even know. And it's mm-hmm. they're not their parents to mm-hmm. say, you know, wow, that was awesome. You did a great job. When can you come back? You know, and you can just see it. You're right. It's huge for self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, to hear from what Amy is saying is that idea of that guilt of having so much fun with it. Because I think for a lot of us, we think of volunteerism like we do a job. It's something we have to do instead of something we get to do. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea of incorporating these ideas of doing volunteerism as the aspect of something that we really want to do, like getting to go out and be outdoors by yourself for a while picking flowers, or hanging out doing storybook reading to little kids, or raising money because you really have a good time getting people to open up their wallets. Whatever that aspect is, I think for a lot of people, it seems, even those calling in, are talking about the fun that they can have and incorporating that idea, kind of like what you were saying, Sue, about finding those things that you don't have to do every day at your job and really want to find the time to do it. And it's almost like a good excuse to go out and do those things that you've been really wanting to do for a while. We have Amanda here in Anchorage. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, Amanda. How are you?
Actually, it's Amada.
Oh, Amada. My apologies.
That's right. I just wanted to talk about why I started volunteering. And I've done a lot of short-term volunteering for the past 10 years. And it started with the military. As a veteran and being in the military, being part of the community is highly recommended. So that seed was planted while I was in the military. It was kind of forced volunteerism, but it was planted, and that started everything. And, you know, I was part of the Big Brother, Big Sister program, and volunteering allows me just to step outside of my own comfort zone and to engage with others and to really feel part of the community. I've also done a little volunteering at health clinics and filing charts, and although filing charts, I'm not really part of the community or anything, but I know that my work really helps the agency that I work at, and they're able to spend more time on patients or more time serving clients that they do.
Oh, thank you, Amada. You're absolutely right. I've run into on three occasions just this last week of people who have experience doing something like filing the work. Or I ran into a woman the other day who is a retired pharmacist, and she volunteers her time to set in from time to time when their main pharmacist can't be there. And sometimes just that type of volunteerism seems to be all over this city, and that probably doesn't show up in the stats and the polls that they're publishing nationwide. But even that, do you find that there are groups that, Sue, that come through United Way at all looking for people just to help them out with these like minutia details even?
Oh, there are, and I love that Amada recognized her contribution, because that's so important. So whoever was leading her as a volunteer did a great job at sharing that with her, because, you know, it's true. I mean, and filing in a medical office, it would be something that you would really want to pay attention to and not mess up. So it was a huge volunteer opportunity for that organization. And there are, for instance, with the health fairs, you know, you could have a very, there's some volunteer opportunities that almost anybody can do. Hand out water at a turnaround on a race, a running race at the turnaround point, right? And, you know, that's pretty much general recruitment, down to what Amada's example was around, you know, filing medical files or being a phlebotomist at a health fair or, you know, but you know, there's volunteer opportunities like that all the time. I mean, you just wouldn't think about it, you know, necessarily, unless you're, you know, a volunteer manager for that organization. But there's just something for, you know, for everybody. And again, you know, you can feel great success and a part of that organization. And once you get involved in an organization, and if they remember to do the things they should, like recognize the volunteers and thank the volunteers, volunteers will, I mean, you know, I've had volunteers associated with or different groups that I've been working with for, you know, 20, 25 years. They'll just keep coming back because they know they're valued. They know their contribution is taken seriously, and they want to be involved in that group. So,
and I think two of the things that both Amada and Sue just said that I would like to further highlight, one is this kind of behind the scenes piece, and that you don't have to be out there actually interacting with people if that's not what you want to do at that time, but also the importance of the manager or somebody who can really link you with what would be the best fit. One of the things that AmeriCorps is really taking on is trying to include people with disabilities. And there's a great example recently up in Fairbanks of a young woman with autism serving as an AmeriCorps member with literacy issues.
Oh, great.
And her particular tasks were behind the scenes, which makes sense if someone has autism. But the experience of doing this and the successes actually, by her own testimony, gave her the confidence to move out and get her own apartment. And so, you know, what could have been a fairly small experience just had these magnified effects in her life, as well as the people who use the services of the agency she was assisting.
So in a sense, too, the kindness of strangers is more than just kindness of strangers. Sometimes it is an act of volunteerism,
mm-hmm.
Correct?
Right.
If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing volunteerism, how it is defined, and what it adds to our community. If you have been a volunteer, if you are a volunteer, or you're seeking volunteers, by all means, give us a call. Share what you've got on your mind at 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or you can email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. And we have on the phone with us Marion Kerr. Hello, Marion.
Hi. I didn't realize that you were waiting. I guess I was thinking all those things that you've said. I've been a volunteer. I'm a volunteer manager, and I still volunteer. And I actually volunteer for public radio. And I work with people who are volunteers. And the one thing that I think is most important to point out is that sometimes it's just a matter of going next door and helping your neighbor. That's volunteering. And that kids who volunteer as a family, who see their parents volunteering, that's what sets it in their mind. That's what they remember, and that's the great foundation that'll help kids get older and think about volunteering themselves. So I think the importance of having families volunteer is a real, real key thing that also needs to be talked about.
Great. And Marion, do you have some suggestions of some good family outing type volunteer?
I think that we've gone all the way around it, and the whole thing is all about what motivates you as a volunteer. And I think if you're talking about a family, and we all seem to be thinking, oh gosh, you know, is it really okay to have fun? Well, of course it's okay to have fun as a volunteer. What does your family enjoy doing? If your family enjoys doing things outdoors, then maybe you just want to take a walk around the street and pick up trash. Or maybe you want to, you know, walk around the neighborhood and see what's going on in your neighborhood. Are there people you can help? Is there something that you can do? Just get to know people. Even that, just the act of reaching out can be a great volunteer aspect, just being there for somebody.
And Marion Mintz used to make a really good point, too, that it doesn't necessarily have to go through an organization to be volunteer work as well.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I think when you look at the statistics, they ask people that if they've not necessarily been with an organization, if they've just done something for others. And people will generally say yes.
Great. And Sue, do you have something that kind of ties that in where people who do things outside of, do you find that people who tend to volunteer their time through an organization, do they volunteer outside of the organization very often?
Oh, I think Marianne is on it when she says that, you know, it's the behavior, it's the learned behavior, it's the repeated behavior of doing something. It's almost become second nature. You know, you stop to pick up the trash, you help somebody do something, and you don't really do it for the reward. You hope you're thanked at some point, but you know, that's not the motivation. Certainly, it's not the motivation.
It's the psychological high that researchers will tell you about. It's the high of volunteering. It's that feeling that you get when you give. You give something, but what you get in return, many people will tell you, is far more important than what they thought they gave. The result that comes back to them is amazing. And people who volunteer will tell you that, and they often seek out places that will make them feel like they're supported in what they're doing, but it'll also make them feel really good about what they're doing.
Excellent. And Marion, as I understand too, you've also volunteered here at this radio station, in fact.
I do. We work occasional Sundays doing a folk music show called the Rock Island Line.
Which is a great show. I've listened
thank
to that
you.
Many times. Well, and I would like to personally thank you for your volunteerism here at KSKA.
Well, and thank you very much. It's a pleasure to volunteer for public radio.
Agreed. And as we're talking about volunteering for public radio, there's also all kinds of different aspects in the media outlets, too, where people on different radio stations across the nation, television stations as well. This is a great time for students of media, film, or writing, lighting, to get their chance to go out and get a little volunteer work in, and it also teaches them on the job, which is another interesting aspect. Do you know of any particular, Sue, perhaps any particular organizations that help funnel students into areas that can encourage them and heighten them for their careers in the future?
Oh, I think, perhaps classes in high school, maybe student government. I know the and once you get to university, the Center for Community Engagement and Learning will put students in contact with, through the service learning model, community partners that are doing work. So maybe that would be your, want to talk about
yeah, in
that,
fact, Tracy.
Well, I think service learning is really interesting and absolutely has the capacity to help young people or students of any age learn more about sort of career goals and directions that they're interested in. And it's ironic, Tika, you were asking earlier about sort of numbers and trends in volunteering, and it's almost a cliche that you hear about periodically that, you know, every high school student applying to college has so many hours of service on their resume. But then you look a little deeper and they had to do it. And it varies a lot, whether that's just a requirement for high school graduation and they went out and kind of found their own thing, or if it was incorporated into a class. And I think that second model where the service and the class instruction and the class goals are really integrally related is really interesting and really important and what I can best speak to, where I think we all know kind of the model of volunteerism that we've been speaking about, where it's really about the service that you're providing and the people or organizations who receive that service, and that's really important. And then there's a longstanding education tradition of internships and field placements that are really about the students learning, and hopefully the host organization kind of, you know, benefits in some way, but it's really about the student. And service learning really brings both of those things together, where hopefully the partner organization or organizations benefit, but what they're doing, what the students are doing, is very much connected to what the course is about. And so the activities and the structure of the experience is designed to enhance that learning, so that where students end up is deepened. It's a deeper kind of learning, as well as contributing to a particular project or endeavor. And I think, I mean, certainly in my experience as an instructor is that not only do students come out of the class understanding the material better, but it matters to them in a different way. It's not just abstract material that, you know, they may or may not sort of take you at your word when you say this is important. They're starting to see that, yes, this actually matters to people's lives. And they leave the class asking questions in a way that they don't under other circumstances.
I had an opportunity to work with K through 6 school this spring. And we did this whole project around toilet paper. And, you know, toilet paper drives. And it was kind of the service learning model, maybe a little bit distorted, but, you know, the students picked a nonprofit where they wanted the toilet paper to end up, and then they had to do the math around how many rolls of toilet paper for a course of a year would this particular agency use, and then they had to figure out, you know, if they collected this many rolls of toilet paper, how were they going to get it down to this nonprofit, and then they did this whole school-wide effort around the history of toilet paper and things that you could make out of toilet paper. And it all started with the principal of that school wanting that entire K through 6 school to do a volunteer project. And, you know, it was amazing to see the creativity around, you know, all I did was plant the seed. Hey, I think this organization needs this. And the next thing you know, they did. They turned it into math. They turned it into history. There was, you know, logistics because they had to get it down there. They worked with one of the corporate partners through the school business partnership class that they had. So, I mean, I think, it just starts off and then it morphs into something amazing. And again, I think that these students, much like the students that you have in your classes, I'm sure, got a better idea of what is going on in their community, and they were kindergartners, and they were first graders, and they were second graders, and while they might not have really got on with the word volunteerism, they understood what it was to help. I helped. I brought these rolls of toilet paper, and it's going to help this, you know. So,
and learning can be exciting because it's not just this isolated activity in a classroom.
Right, right. So you can blend the two really nicely. Or you can just do the traditional and volunteer in a school, PTA, you know, all of the traditional things. So
Girl Scouts.
Yeah, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Campfire.
Yeah. Well, you are listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we are discussing volunteerism. We will be right back after this short break.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. A copy of Hometown Alaska will be available this afternoon on our website at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
If you're just tuning in, this is Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing volunteerism, how it defines and adds to a community, and what it means to be a volunteer, how to be a volunteer. If you're just tuning in, that also means you don't know the number. You could call us and let us know about your volunteer experiences. That would be at 550-8433. That's 550-8433, or email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. There are a long list of links to volunteer organizations on our website at www.kska.org. And we have on the phone today, we have John here in Anchorage. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to talk a little bit about volunteerism across the world, but specifically in Anchorage, Alaska, and throughout Alaska. I happen to belong to two Lions clubs here in town. And it's amazing how people get involved. You sort of fall into an organization and you get involved. And one of the clubs I belong to, we support East High, and we give a scholarship to one graduating senior. And one of the large credentials that they must present is how much volunteerism they have done. And in what and how they've done it, not just to my church, or they have to give specific hours and what they were actually accomplishing, because what we're trying to do is obviously foster volunteerism within that respect and reward it, and we don't take the top grade earners, because they are always going to get a lot of scholarships. We go from about a 3.2 to a 3.8, and you would be amazed at how many hours these young people put in, mostly on their own. And one more point, and I'll get off the horn, is that this Lions Club, as well as another, Mountain View and Mount McKinley, we've been sponsoring for over 20 years a Christmas party for the Anchor House. And that is for mentally and handicapped people that live in a communal affair. But so everybody in the organization buys Christmas presents for these people, and then we help put on a large party. What's really interesting is I brought my daughter, my youngest daughter, there when she was about 7, and now she is the she organizes a chorus from a local church to come along with her children. So it does work with families, and it's passed down, and it's just by happenstance. She was with me and with my wife and I, and she came, she enjoyed it, singing songs and serving these people. So it's amazing how it happens. It's nothing necessarily gets planned exactly the way it ends up, but everybody gets served.
And John, just to go back to what you were saying about kids that are applying for these scholarships and they're doing all this volunteerism, you said that it was a lot of it they were doing on their own. Do you mean that they were doing that without the function of an organization?
That is correct.
And what kind of things do you find that they're doing with it?
Well, donating to time to, for instance, some of the runs around town, Catholic Social Services, just all kinds of different organizations that need help. And these kids, because they come from all different backgrounds, have a tendency of jumping in. And it's amazing when they're doing well in school. I mean, they're not the you know, A-plus students, but they're doing well, and they're still putting in a lot of their own time.
Great, great. Thank you for the call, John.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
And Tracy, I see that you're nodding your head. I do know that there's a portion of what you work with, AmeriCorps, a Peace Corps, especially, I know that you have to have a degree to get through the Peace Corps. Is that right?
I do not actually know if that's a requirement. I wouldn't be surprised. And everybody I have known who was a Peace Corps volunteer was a college graduate.
Me too.
And that's not surprising. I mean, the kinds of responsibilities that Peace Corps volunteers have and the fact that ultimately it's the U.S. government sending them abroad. I think the people organizing all of this want to be pretty confident that they can handle themselves alone much of the time and have some kind of skill set that will be of use to the community that they're serving. But I think that's a really important point that you raise as far as what kinds of requirements different organizations are going to have. And certainly that's going to vary. Is it a year-long full-time commitment or longer than a year? AmeriCorps does take young people out of high school. You don't need a college degree. But it's sort of the stereotype in the good sense for somebody graduating from college to go someplace else, whether it's abroad or someplace else within the U.S. for a year or two and immerse themselves in another place and another group of people. And I think, I don't know of any research here, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people who do that kind of service are coming from families where the more episodic service was kind of a norm. And I think part of what I heard implied in John's story was that it's important in families that service opportunities not be really special.
Right.
But
right.
That's just part of what you do.
Right.
And can you go further in that whole not being special? Can you define that better?
Well, even in thinking of what somebody was saying earlier, that, you know, as a family, you go and clean up part of the street or something. You know, this is our street or this is part of our neighborhood. Of course, we want it to look better, but not, you know, look what a great thing we're doing. And, you know, this is a big deal. It's not a big deal. That's just what you do is you pick up the litter. And likewise, you know, with the holidays, part of what you do. But it's not just a holiday occasion thing either. I mean, when the cleanup green up, is that the right phrase at the end of winter? Mm-hmm. You just participate in that, and that's just part of your annual cycle.
Mm-hmm. And if you're just tuning in, this is Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing volunteerism in our state. This is just right before we're hitting 9/11, which has been declared the National Day of Service and Remembrance. There are all kinds of things going on volunteer-wise, food drives, etc. They are all listed on our website, or a majority of them are. We couldn't actually fit them all on our webpage all at once, but they are listed on our site at kska.org. We did have a listener write in and ask about, are we going to list the groups participating for this Saturday, or for people to get involved with 9/11. Those are all listed on that site as well at kska.org. And we also have listed on there both the AmeriCorps, also different groups through Anchorage throughout the state, the food drive going on today and this Friday. And I think, is there anything else that should be also? Oh, there's also listed on there a whole slew of things as to how to get involved. What are the best options for you to get involved? And there are all kinds of things I found on some of these lists that I find are very fascinating. They're the obvious ones, like that most of us are very aware of who've lived here for a while, like Beans Cafe. Feeding people, housing people, clothing people. But there was also a really interesting one that I found, creating oil-absorbent brooms with hair, fur, fleece, feathers, or nylon. And this is a volunteer movement to build these oil-absorbent brooms to go down to help clean up the Gulf Coast, which I thought was a fascinating little thing of how we can just volunteer in our own home, maybe a creative way with kids to sit and gather what's otherwise known as trash or something that we'd throw away, like our hair. I'm kicking myself for cleaning out the hairbrushes this week. We do have Amy on the phone here from Girdwood. Good afternoon, Amy. No, we don't have Amy on the phone any longer from Girdwood. But should she decide to call back, the number here is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or you can, again, email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. There are a bunch of these little things that we were just discussing. And perhaps maybe the two of you, Tracy, do you have any suggestions on these little?
For this weekend specifically or in general?
Or this weekend in general.
Wow.
I have one. I just saw a really cute one. It is going to be supporting Project Homeless Connect, which is actually not going to happen until January of 2011. But they're asking everyone to knit scarves and for people. So when the folks come through the Project Homeless Connect, they'll make sure everyone gets a scarf. Every child will get a scarf. Every family member will get a scarf. So if you're a knitter or crocheter and you're hoarding your yarn, I think it's time to give it up and make some scarves. And that's one of those projects you could do at home over the winter. Mm-hmm. And it's going to benefit somebody in the spring. And you'll feel great. And, you know, it'll use up your yarn. But, you know, do it. And then, you know, while you're sitting there watching television or whatever. But it's one of those things I always thought, oh, yeah, I could do that. I love to knit. I love to crochet. And I never, you know, my family is sick and tired of getting my projects. It's time to branch out into the community. So, yeah, that was something I just saw this past week that was a need in our community.
Oh, that's great. And I'm glad that you pointed out that for our friends who keep on giving them to us, we can
recycle them.
We do have Laura now from Palmer on the phone. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that my kids have been exposed to volunteer efforts for a long time. They've gone to school with AmeriCorps kids teaching. They've gone to camps with AmeriCorps kids. And the AmeriCorps kids are great. I have not met one that just didn't just touch me. You know, it just in my heart. They are there to serve, and they're such great people. And I just wanted to say that when kids are raised with so much volunteer effort around them, my kids were with me every step of the way this summer. We started a brand new charter school in the Valley, and it was a lot of work. And it was a lot of, you know, cleaning the new building after it was done. And my kids were there. They're washing windows. They're vacuuming. I mean, they saw that not one person was idle, and they were so excited to jump right in and help. It was like ownership for them. This is for us. We are here, and we are taking it on. You know what I mean? It was just, it's a beautiful thing. And every volunteer that worked, their kids were right there too. And I think we are going to have a generation of wonderful volunteers coming up, at least in the Valley.
Great.
So I just wanted to say, if you are not volunteering around your kids and with your kids, do it. It is just an amazing thing to pass on to your kids.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks for the great show.
Well, and it's good to hear families are getting involved. If you're a family member out there and you're getting involved with your kids, share that with your neighbors and your friends, your kids' friends as well. We do have Kate on the line here from Anchorage. Good afternoon, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hello. I'm an AmeriCorps member at the Alaska Literacy Program, and I just wanted to call and talk about what a great opportunity it's been for me to serve here at the Literacy Program, working with people from so many different countries that I didn't even know even existed. So it's been a really great experience for me.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Kate.
Uh-huh.
And do we have an idea of how many AmeriCorps volunteers we have here in Anchorage?
In Anchorage, you know, statewide, we have just over 400 kind of full-time equivalents, although there are actually more kind of people involved because some of them are working fewer than the full-time mm-hmm. number of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how many JVs are in the state currently. I think that has been historically up around 25 statewide. I know the Anchorage community right now is at 6 or 7, and then there are JVC communities in several other cities around the state.
And speaking of numbers, too, today is the Day of Caring.
Mm-hmm.
Day of Caring. And can you tell us a little bit more about that, Sue, what that is?
It started in 1992, and it's to get it was to get companies involved in the community to the companies that allow their employees off time off to volunteer, which there are many now, allow time off, paid time off to go out and work in the community. So we've got about 600 folks out there doing different things with different organizations, and all good work. And then Friday is the food drive, which was that started for the companies that were in the sector that couldn't let their employees off work but still wanted to get involved in the community. So we'll be at the Sears Mall from 11 to 6, and everything that is raised will be distributed through the Food Bank of Alaska. So I hope to see everybody out, and it's amazing. Every year we'll have at least a handful of small children that are just bring you to your knees in tears, that'll be walking across the parking lot with their can of peas. I bought this with my allowance.
Oh, cute.
Oh, yeah. And, that's where it starts, that whole concept of giving.
And we have Esther on the phone here in Anchorage. Good afternoon, Esther.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you. I just wanted to share from my experience. I spent 1 year as an AmeriCorps member in Michigan, and I was facilitating a 4-H mentoring program, and part of that was asking my volunteer mentors in their matches just to find things that they could do to support their relationship and to develop, a healthy working relationship with each other. And they consistently found ways that they wanted to volunteer together and asked me to program times that they could volunteer together as matches with the other mentoring matches with them. And I also wanted to kind of second or third the sentiments that I've heard about volunteering with your children, because my mom really was, she is a very strong role model to me, and she was an AmeriCorps member in her 50s, and it really changed her view of the world and what was important to her. And she went to school and got a degree in social work, and she is a social worker today, and I followed in her footsteps with seeing the changes, the positive changes that it made in her life and the decisions that she was making, and became an AmeriCorps member. And I'm now at UAA going for my social work degree.
Excellent. And that's exactly what we're going to have to close up this hour with, Esther, is kind of calling out to everyone in our community, as you had said, to call out and challenge folks to get their families involved. Again, we have nationally the call out to people on September 11th is to take back the day, is to not just let it become another day in the books where you just order pizza and sit at home, but to get involved. And it's called the National Day of Service and Remembrance. On our website at kska.org, you will find that there are a ton of things listed on the Hometown Alaska's page for ways to get involved with your community. Our guests here today have given us all kinds of ideas, and they are also listed on our webpage. This hour has come really quickly to a close, and I want to thank personally all of our callers and our guests today. Tracy Burke, a commissioner with the Serve Alaska and faculty with UAA Center for Community Engagement and Learning, and Sue Brogan, the director of the Volunteer Center at United Way of Anchorage. Remember, September 11th is the day, National Day of Service and Remembrance. Next week, September 15th, on Hometown Alaska, Kathleen McCoy will be discussing Denali Kids Care. Pat Yak is APTI Vice President of News and Public Media, and Kristen Speck engineered today's program. I hope you all learned a little bit more about being involved with your community and how to be involved with your community. Thank you.
Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.